We are North Rock Church, where we exist to see lives redefined by being filled with life in Christ. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Today we're kicking off a brand new series called Booksmart. Booksmart, it's all about the Word of God, the Word of God. And I'm going to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you brought a paper Bible with you, you are welcome to open and turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 with me, or you can just look at the screen or look it up on your Bible app on your phone. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to his kind of son in the Gospels, a young man that he is mentoring who wound up kind of in ministry himself, Timothy. And Paul says in his second letter to Timothy in verse number 16 of 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed. Everybody say all. All scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture, useful for teaching. We like that. For rebuking, not so much. For correcting, depends, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. God's word is anointed. It's God-breathed. The scripture is useful so that we can be equipped in every area of our life. When we have issues and we have struggles, when we deal with trials and trauma and tragedy in our life, when we're looking for direction, when we're looking for answers, when we're on a mountaintop, when we are in the valley, every season of our life, every moment of our life, every age of our life, God's word or the scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for us in every season, giving us definitions and instructions. It's interesting in 2022 because we have access to instructions and directions for anything at all. Like anything at all. If you have ever, you know, wanted to do some sort of maintenance on your automobile, like you are one of those people who said, I'm just going to do it myself, rather than take it down there and then charge me. I know what's wrong with it. If you're one of those people who's ever wanted to do maintenance, whatever it might be, you can find direction to fix anything. Like online, you got to do, I'm going to change a bulb in my, you know, in my headlight. Okay. How do I do that? Well, all you got to do is put in the year, model, make of your car and put in, you know, changing headlamp and you'll be able to find directions to do that. If you're going to fix something in your house and you're not sure exactly what to do, you can find directions online. If you're looking to invest, how should I invest? There are all sorts of instructions out there from YouTube to TikTok to Instagram, all manner of people who will help you know where you should be putting your money. If you're looking for like actual directions to get to, you know, a restaurant that you heard about, or, you know, the best way to get to, you know, wherever it might be, where some trip that you're going on, what's the best way to get to, you know, to the south side of Houston right now? You can find you can find direction in all sorts of places. I have on my phone, I've literally got three different map apps on my phone. I've got Waze, I've got Maps, you know, Apple Maps, and I've got Google Maps. What's funny is sometimes they agree and sometimes they don't agree with each other. There's different voices, and sometimes they agree, sometimes they don't agree. And what's really funny is when Alicia and I are going somewhere together, and guys, I mean, you married people, you understand that when we're in the car together trying to get somewhere, there's already enough strife. There's already enough tension. She already thinks that I don't drive right, that I think when she's driving this, she tailgates everybody, because she does tailgate everybody. If we're ever behind you and we're tailgating you in one of our cars, I can promise you it ain't me driving. But it's a pretty little bride of mine. So there, but she thinks I should turn here. She thinks I should get up, you know, and so on and so forth. What's really funny is whenever I have one, you know, map app up, And it's telling me to do one thing, and hers is telling her something different. It happened this week where she literally looked at me and said, well, that's not what my app is telling me to do. That's not what mine's telling me to do. Because sometimes even the map apps disagree, right? Different voices disagree. But we use directions in our life because we need to be directed. We look for instructions in our life because we need to be instructed. But not every resource that we receive information from is reliable. Sometimes we get directions and definitions from people and places that really aren't reliable. I can't always count on the 16-year-old TikToker to give me the best directions for investing in crypto. You know, where to buy NFTs. And I'm not anti-16-year-olds. I love you. I was one once. And I've had two in my house at different times in their life. I love you. But sometimes we're not getting information from the most reliable sources. Like you can't always count on that 38-year-old single dude who's living in his mother's basement to give you pro-marriage tips on Instagram. Like he may not be where you need to get your, you know, marriage hacks from. That might not be the best place to go. And yet, so many times in our life, whether it's subconsciously or consciously, we allow people to speak into our world that have no business. We allow organizations and maybe politicians or government professors. We allow kind of groupthink. We allow angry people online. We allow celebrities. We allow rock stars and athletes to define truth for us, to tell us how to think, what to think, to give us information, to give us instructions, to give us directions. Listen, just because someone is gifted physically and can play a sport really, really good does not mean that they get to redefine something that God has already defined. I don't take instructions from them just because they have a platform. But we're always looking for direction, aren't we? Because we need them. We're looking for answers because we have questions. Because there is stress in our world. There is chaos in our world. There is political unrest and inflation and racial tension. And so we have questions about things and we're looking for answers. And we turn on one news channel and it tells us something. And we go, well, that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. And then we like click one button and go up to the next news channel. And those people, it's like they're on a completely different planet. Like they are saying the exact opposite of what we just heard on this channel. It's the same way with Instagram. I'll scroll and find one feed that says this. Oh, that sounds pretty smart. And then we'll find another one that says completely different, that gives us completely different information. Listen, there is no shortage of people in modern culture who are ready to share with anyone who will listen their version of truth. Right? We got both sides of the aisle posturing. You got the red people thinking one thing, the blue people thinking a completely different thing. We got people who kind of just practice identity politics where this is the party that I've always kind of identified with. You know, there have been some times where I felt like they did some good things, and or maybe this is how I was raised. This is what mom and daddy, you know, this is how they raised, this is how my grandmom, you know, voted. And so we stand with this political party regardless of what their platform is. Regardless of what their policies are, right? And we tweet and we vote and we make decisions based on this is just who I identify, even if their policies and the issues that they are talking about might be completely anti-Bible. And it's not even a political issue at all, but it's really a Bible issue. I'm actually amazed. And here's what I'm doing. I'm kind of setting up attention to get us off into this series on the Word of God, using the Word of God as our foundation for truth, rather than some organization or groupthink or what, you know, a professor is telling, et cetera, et cetera. Using God's Word as our foundation. But I told the staff a while back, I'm dumbfounded at how certain issues have become political. Like, how is that even political? And the reason it is because anything that political parties, and I'm not anti-politicians because we need them, and I know there's a lot of great ones out there, but anytime that they can use an issue or a hot button to incite their base, to rally their base, to fundraise, to get voters out, they're going to use an issue. They're going to. And media jumps on the same bandwagon for the exact same reasons. But just because something has been politicized does not mean that it's political. Some things are actually biblical. And we're looking at them as political, but it ain't political, guys. It's Bible. Like, it's good versus evil. It's right versus wrong. It's right versus wrong. And many people, even good people, even Christians, listen to voices in culture, because there's no shortage of them. Voices, we get our definitions and our instructions and our directions from voices in culture more than we get them from God. And we identify with culture more than we identify with God's word. And it matters who you listen to. It matters where you get your information from. It matters. When Jesus was brought to trial just before he was crucified, the final trial on that night after he was crucified, was he was brought to Pilate again, and Pilate did not want to crucify Jesus. And so he kind of devised a plan. He didn't think that Jesus was guilty, but he brought this evil dude named Barabbas up next to Jesus. And he told the people, said, listen, it's customary for me to release one prisoner at Passover. I'm going to let you guys choose. And of course, Pilate believed that they would surely choose Jesus to be released, because Barabbas was an evil, evil man, and everyone knew it. But you know what happened. The crowds yelled with loud voices. The scripture says, give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! And they yelled, crucify Jesus! Crucify him! And Luke chapter 23, verse 23 says that their loud voices prevailed. The loudest voices in your life are the ones that are going to prevail. The ones that you listen to the most. And our students and our college kids, you got to know, they're inundated daily. And some of us who are kind of older and kind of moved on in our life, we think that, well, all of this crazy, you know, secular humanism and all that stuff, that really doesn't happen a lot, although over the last couple of years, we are seeing it more and more. But everybody in the room that's 25 and under and maybe even older has to deal with this every single day, inundated with voices telling them that, you know, truth is relevant. You decide your own truth. It's generally based on feelings, right? But you and I both know. I mean, common sense tells us that truth cannot be founded on feelings. It doesn't matter how you feel about something. If your five-year-old child were to tell you, Dad, I feel like I can fly, that does not mean that he can fly. You don't affirm that and say, well, that's awesome, Junior. Let's go up to the roof. And let's let you jump off. If you feel like it, then let's do it. No, you don't affirm that. Like, because you know it's false. You know it's not true. You still love him. You don't kick him out of your house. But you're not a party to his false belief. You're not a party to that. If I flew on a plane this week, and if we would have got on the plane to come home early Thursday morning from Seattle, and the pilot got on and said, well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's nice and cloudy here today in Seattle, and, you know, everything on the plane is working just fine, but I got to tell you, I'm just kind of feeling sparky today, and I'm not going to use my instruments today. I just feel like I can feel my way through this entire flight. I know that there are mountains around, but I'm just going to feel my way up and over those mountains. I mean, we'd have been like, Not today. I'm getting off the plane right now. If truth were based on feelings, then we could never argue with a terrorist perpetuating violence onto a group of people. A terrorist flying an airplane into a building because they believed that what they were doing was the right thing to do. Truth is not based on feeling. There has to be one foundation of truth. There has to be one centerpiece of truth. There has to be one moral compass in this life and in our world. And let me declare to you today, as we launch off into a series about the Word of God, that the truth is right here in this book, in this book of instructions, in this book of life, in God's Word. College professors, love them, need them, but they don't get to decide what truth is. An angry demonstrator, I don't care how mad they are, how red-faced they are, how loud they yell, they don't get to define what truth is. You and I don't get to decide. Government doesn't get to decide. We can talk about our opinions as it relates to sexuality and whether or not you can, you know, choose your gender or not. We can talk about all the things that we want to talk about, but government, politicians don't get to redefine what God designed. They don't, you and I don't get to construe or misconstrue what we did not create. And it doesn't matter what level of education we have, what type of degree we have. It doesn't matter how much we've thought about it, how many people we've talked to about it. We don't get to redefine what God has defined. There's only one place to find real truth. If you want it, it's in this book. It's not relative, it's fixed. Truth is not a feeling, it is a fact. Truth is not what I think, truth is what God says. Truth is not what you wish it was, truth is what God says it is. And in the absence of truth, and what's happened is, in our culture, this foundation of truth has been placed on the back burner. It's been left out of schools, in many cases left out of our lives, and replaced with humanism and replaced with a kind of a groupthink culture. And in the absence of truth, lies live. Where there's an absence of God's word, lies lead the way. Because this is truth. This is truth. And we can't allow ourselves, and way too many of us have, way too many, even including believers, have had legitimate questions. Like questions that I wonder about that. But we've gone to the wrong places to get the answers instead of going here. And so we've got bad answers to good questions. All right? Just trying to help you understand why we need God's word. Another reason is I felt to spend a few weeks on this particular series talking about the Bible is because in 2020 and over even the last couple of years, it felt like there were so many people who were supposed to have a relationship with God, and when craziness hit our world, it seemed like they had no relationship with God. And in most cases, listen to me, it was because they had no relationship with this book that gives us all the answers. They had no relationship with this book that we can find peace in and hope in. They had no relationship with this book where we find direction and we find instruction and we find information. Some of them had relationships with actually worshiping, and that's awesome. I'm all about worship. We love worship. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I need a relationship with God's word as well. Some had a relationship with attending church, and that's important. I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But whenever we couldn't attend church, everything started shaking for them. Because they had no relationship with God's word. No relationship with God's word. Jesus said in John chapter 4, the time is coming. Indeed, it's now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Worshiping God is not just about gathering and worshiping and singing. And that is critical. That is actually mission critical, and God craves that, right? He does. But it's more than that. God doesn't want us to just worship in spirit. He also wants us to worship in truth. He wants us to have a relationship with his word. And the more we get close to him by getting closer to his word, the more we understand about him. It's amazing how that fuels our worship, how it feeds our spiritual act of worship. Because now I know I'm not just celebrating a God who gave his life for me. I love that. I've heard that all my life. But now I've discovered that he gives me peace that is beyond understanding. Now I've discovered that this word says he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Now I know that there is a fear not in this book for every day of the year. There are 365 fear nots in God's word. And when I'm wrestling with fear, there's a fear not in this book for me. And I've learned that. I've discovered that. And man, it's amazing how that fuels my worship and my passion. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And in truth. In John chapter 1, Jesus said this. John wrote this about God and about Jesus. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And look at this. He said, the Word was God. The Word was God. The Bible said that the Word is God. God literally called himself the Word. In verse 14, says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So, of course, it's referencing Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. So the Bible is God, and God is the Bible. If you want to know God more, get to know this book. If you want to become more intimate with Jesus, get more intimate with this book. If you're looking for direction and answers in your life to a question that you can't seem to solve, like, it's okay for you to have counsel in your life. It's okay for, you know, you to talk to, a campus pastor or a student pastor. It's okay for you to call your mama, your daddy, your granny. It's okay for you to go to your next door neighbor's house and say, would you help me? It's okay. But let me encourage you first to go to this book if you're looking for answers in your life. If you're trying to learn how to deal with your fear or your anxiety or your loneliness or your depression, I promise you there are answers to every question you have in this book. And so we want to learn more about God's word over the next few weeks. And Jesus made some big claims about the word. And one of the claims that Jesus kind of made was that the Bible is alive. If you're taking notes, the Bible, God's word, is alive. And Jesus said himself in John chapter 6, he said, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Now, the English word spirit here is translated from a Greek word, pneuma. And spirit actually is not, it is the only real English word that could come from this translation. But the translation is much bigger than just one word, spirit. A lot of times, there would be no English word, and this is for Hebrew and Greek in the scripture, not one word, because a lot of times there were big ideas in the word. And so the word pneuma, it's like this big idea, but it was translated here as spirit. But when Jesus said the words that I've spoken to you are spirit, it could have been translated the words that I've spoken to you are the breath of God. And they're not just breath for to say the word, but it's also breath to fulfill what I am saying. The word literally means that when God speaks, power comes with those words. So Jesus is saying, when I speak, I'm not just saying words. I'm saying words, but it's more than just a word that falls to the ground, but there's crazy power and effectiveness attached to it that comes along with it that will actually help you and change you. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the writer of Hebrews says that the word of God is living and it is active. When you read the word of God, it is alive. It is active. And then he said it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. The writer is saying, when you read God's word, it's not just like you read a word like you would in any book. It's not just information, but there's transformation that comes along with it. Like it gets all up in you. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it will bring about the change and the hope and the power and the wisdom, whatever it is that you need When you read God's word, it's amazing how it can happen in your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, the words that I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. This is the Message paraphrase. I love how the Message kind of breaks this passage down. They're not incidental additions to your life. They're not like homeowner improvements to your standard of living, but they are foundational words. They are words to build a life on. If you work these words, Jesus said, into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. On a solid rock. And Jesus goes on to say in this passage that because rain is coming and wind is coming, and if you've only built your life on information from culture, definitions from culture, whatever that celebrity said or that athlete said or whatever, you know, this group of people says, if you just build your life on what culture says, when the rains come, when the wind blows, your house is going to fall. But he said, if you build your house, build your life on the words that I'm speaking, let my words be your foundation, when the wind blows, your house will stand. So I want to build my life on God's word. I want to build my life in everything I do. I want to get my definitions and my instructions. I want to get my direction. I don't care what that platform says or what that group of people says or what I'm told on Instagram or TikTok. I want to get my definitions. I want to get my instructions from God's word. So let me give you three quick things before we go. The first one is this. If I'm going to build my life on God's word, I've got to accept its authority. I've got to accept its authority. I've got to accept that God's word is actually God's word. And this begins with our attitude. It's either I accept it as this is what God says, like this is the anointed, inerrant, infallible word of God, or this is just a kind of a good book with some neat stories in it. Some of it's kind of weird, you know, but it's kind of neat, some neat stories in it. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we also thank God continually because... He's talking to Christians in Thessalonica. He said, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. Everybody say accept it. You accepted it, not as the word of men, but actually as it is, the word of God. And because you accepted it, watch this, it's now at work in you who believe. So you believed it, and you accepted it, and because of that, it is at work in your life. Now, I know that there are some people who, including this guy, who think that there's some unique stuff in this book, some things that I do not understand. I just don't really grasp. Well, some things just don't make sense to me. You might be saying today, well, again, join the club because there's things that don't make sense to me. But there's a lot of things in my life that I don't understand that I do anyway. I don't understand digestion. But ladies and gentlemen, I will declare to you of a surety on this Sunday afternoon, the first Sunday in August of 2022, I will be eating. I will be putting food in this mouth. I'm not going to go to YouTube and try to understand how digestion works so that I know I should eat. In fact, it would probably gross me out, right? So I probably wouldn't want to eat. But I am going to be eating food this afternoon. Even though I don't really understand digestion, I'm going to eat it. I don't understand how my car works, but I punch the button anyway and expect it to crank. You might. You might understand that very thing. But don't come to me after church and try to explain, well, this is how it works. I don't care how it works. I just want to push the button, and I want it to work. I accept it as authority, right? The second thing is I must assimilate the Bible's truths into my life. I must assimilate, and I got to work God's word into every area of my life. It's not just a Sunday thing. It cannot just be a Sunday thing. I'm always dumbfounded at individuals who have like their church. It's like church them on the weekend and then non-church them Monday through Saturday. You've got to assimilate God's word and the truths of this word into every facet of your life, your marriage, your relationships, your parenting, your career, your finances, all of these things. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's a Tuesday thing and a Thursday thing. Here's a couple of ways, a couple of subpoints to help us assimilate God's word into my life. First of all, I want to listen to God's word. I want to listen to God's word by listening to God's word. Of course, I want to read God's word. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but I need to hear God's word. And I need to be very intentional and strategic about planning how I'm going to hear God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, watch what Paul says. He said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm preaching to the choir on today. I know that. But let me tell you something. What you are doing today by just being in the house is building your faith. You are allowing God's word to get in you just by being in the house. The number one way to hear God's word is to show up to church. When you get to the house, from the music to the preaching, man, the people that are greeting you in the parking lot and as you come in the door, God's word is being dropped like seeds from God's word are being dropped on hearts and on minds and on spirits. The band this morning, the first song that they sang said, "Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever." Did you know what? That's Bible. Like, that's scripture. In fact, that is like that statement, that phrase shows up over and over and over and over and over and over in the Bible. "Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever." That's God's word. I need that in my life. I need to declare that God is good. I need to be reminded that his mercy endures forever, that his mercies are new every morning, because I need those mercies in my life. See, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Somebody told me a while back, and I'm not thinking of any particular situation. I don't even remember the face, because this has been said so many times to me through the years. But someone recently said, "I'm so glad I came to church after a service. I'm so glad I came to church today. I needed to hear that." And of course, that sounds great. But you got to know that in my mind, I'm wondering, did you almost not come to church? Like, what else were you going to do? You just going to go to Costco? You know, going to get shopping out of the way? Get to HEB before everybody else shows up on Sunday afternoons? Is that what you're going to do? Well, what else were you going to do? How about make it a priority to get to God's house? Because, you know, you have this idea that I heard from God. Listen, God is pouring his word out, his truth out every single weekend. Whether or not you are here to receive it, God is pouring out. God is pouring out. There's been so many times in my life, and I have some peers, they're like conference junkies. They like go to every conference in the country. I'm not a conference junkie. I only do conferences if they're relationships or really feel like I'm going to draw something out of it. But there's a handful of events that I go to. One of them was this week in Seattle, and it's a tough time of the year to travel. Seattle's hard to get to. It's not my favorite conference to pack for and go to. It's beautiful there this time of the year. You can see the mountain there this time of year and all that stuff, but I have to make myself pack a suitcase and go to the airport, get on a plane and go. But every stinking year, God speaks to me at this particular event. It's not the only place, of course, but I told Alicia as we were packing and complaining a little bit early last Monday morning, I just want to be at want to be here with the staff this week. I just want to blah, blah, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, "Listen, I know I'm going to get something. I know that I will. I need to go. I have to go." And sure enough, man, God spoke very, very directly to me this week. And North Rock is blessed because I went to that event this week. God's word was being poured out. I had to make the decision to be intentional, to be strategic about setting aside time to show up and hear what God is saying to me. I got to hear God's word. I got to read God's word. I got to read God's word. And that kind of speaks for itself. We're going to talk a lot more about reading God's word and the spiritual nourishment that we receive from reading God's word. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus answered, "It is written that man shall not live on bread alone." We can't just have physical food for physical nourishment, but we need to actually eat every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need to see God's word as nourishment for our spiritual soul. All right? And then the third and final way to build our lives on God's word is accept its authority, assimilate its truth, and apply its principles. Apply its principles. Actually got to do it. It doesn't do me any good to look up directions to wherever it might be. Waco, Texas. Look up directions. What's the best way to get there? How should I go? Should I go around the loop in Austin, or should I go straight through Austin? What should I do? It doesn't do me any good to pull up directions and then just sit at home. I'm not going to get to Waco by sitting at home. Well, now I got directions. Let's relax and watch a little TV. And you're not going to get to Waco that way. You've actually got to see what you need to do and then do it. Apply the principles to your life. James chapter 1, 22. James, the brother of Jesus, said, "Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves, but you need to do what it says." When you apply God's word, like when you start doing it, that's when real life change happens. Some of you have been looking for life change in your world. You've been wrestling with sin. You've been wrestling with addiction. You've been wrestling with no purpose. You've been wrestling with hopelessness. And God gives us the directions to solve every one of those things I just said. And in many cases, we've seen it, we've heard it, we know it. We got the t-shirt, and yet we're not doing it. Go ahead and lead that small group. I don't know that I'm ready. You're never going to be ready. I'm not ready to pastor this church. I'm still not ready. But I'm here. I'm just doing what God told me to do. And when I do what he told me to do, when I put my faith in action, it's amazing how God's word is activated in my life, and there's fulfillment that comes, and hope that comes, and joy that comes, and change that comes. Start giving. I need a financial miracle. Are you obeying what God's word says to do? Because God can't pour blessings out on you until you tithe. He can't bless the remaining 90% until you give him the first 10%. Do what God's word says to do. Start serving. Start giving. Start. Join that rock star team, that little card that's in your seat. Actually feel that thing out and do it. Do it today. Would you close your eyes? Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you today. God, your word is so powerful, so anointed. And I thank you for speaking to us today. I thank you for working in hearts and minds. And I'm looking forward to this series, and I pray that you would give us a wisdom and a passion and a fire, and let us fall in love with your word like we have never fallen in love with it before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, let people in this room who have received direction from you, who you have actually given some pretty specific instructions, and yet they've hesitated. They've not taken that step of faith. They've not moved on what you showed them. I pray that you would give them the faith, that you would build their faith, that you would build their courage, that you would give them the audacity to take that step of faith and find that fulfillment and that purpose and that freedom that you have for their life. As I continue to pray, at every one of our locations and online, if you're in service with us today and you're not in a relationship with Jesus, this moment is for you. Maybe you've kind of felt him tugging at your heartstring today. Even though you came to church feeling like you're a million miles from God, I can promise you, you are not. Paul said to a group of people in Athens, he's not far from any of you. I promise you, he is right here with you today. And he wants to feel you. He wants to feel your life. He wants to change you. He wants to heal you. He wants to save you. He loves you just like you are, in your brokenness, addiction, anxiety, sin, whatever. He accepts you just like you are. He just loves you too much to leave you that way. So I want to give you an opportunity to open your heart's door to Jesus and just surrender everything to him. So at every location, with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you'd like to be included in this prayer of surrender, like we're going to make a fresh start today. Whether you've never given your life to Jesus or you need to re-surrender your life to Jesus, this moment is for you. Nobody's looking around. I want to see who I'm praying for. So if you'd say, Jonathan, include me in that prayer of surrender, will you throw your hand in the air right now? Come on, let me see it. I want to see every hand. Come on, hold him high. He loves you just like you are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hands all over the building. Thank you, Midtown. Thank you, Bulverde. Hold him high, Stone Oak. Yes, yes, yes. You know who you are if you're watching online. Yes. All right. Come on, hands in the air. I want to see every one of them. All right. All right, you can put your hands down now. Thank you for responding today. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of surrender, and I invite everybody to pray this prayer along with me in your own words. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I ask you to forgive me for my sins today. I repent today, Lord. I want to change, Lord. I want to change directions today, Lord. I'm inviting you to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you gave your life for me and that you rose from the grave. Today, I'm making a fresh start, and I'm following you. I'm making you the Lord of my life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, if you don't mind, remain seated for the next few moments, but just before our service hosts come, would y'all help me out, and let's celebrate everybody who just took that step of faith. Come on, make some noise.